KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, I'm Kelly Wilkinson with Quest, our weekly series exploring the Bay Area's science and environment. It says something about the state of our public schools that amid a financial meltdown and a contentious election season, CBS moderator Bob Schieffer found time for this observation during the final presidential debate earlier this month.
The U.S. spends more per capita than any other country on education. Yet by every international measurement in math and science competence from kindergarten through the 12th grade, we trail most of the countries of the world.
Here in California, the outlook is even grimmer. Our fourth graders have some of the lowest science scores in the country. Amy Standen reports on the state's science education struggles.
That's so interesting. That is so interesting.
Daniel Lombardo is a fourth grader at Fair Oaks Elementary School in Redwood City. In science class today, he has successfully wired two batteries into an electrical circuit, powering a light bulb, and he's very pleased with himself.
Not a lot of people know that.
They love science. It's their favorite part of the day.
That's Stacy Morrow, Lombardo's teacher. Most of her students are English language learners, and she says that science is one of the few subjects where nearly everyone shines.
This is the one chance they get to talk constantly with their partners and actually try something without me giving them the answers right away and just kind of experiment.
Students at Fair Oaks spend about 4 hours a week on science. That's unusual. A 2007 survey by UC Berkeley's Lawrence Hall of Science found that 80% of Bay Area elementary school teachers spend less than 1 hour a week on the subject. Part of the problem is that some school funding is tied to No Child Left Behind, a federal program that sets standards for math and reading. A lot of teachers spend so much time trying to improve those test scores that science just gets squeezed out of the curriculum. That's a real concern to a lot of people working just a few miles south.
The whole situation is very ironic.
Missy Norquist works in global staffing for National Semiconductor in Santa Clara. She says companies like hers can't find enough qualified workers, especially engineers, here in the United States. And with high-tech industry booming in places like Bangalore and Beijing, it's becoming much harder to recruit foreign-born workers, too, which leaves American companies with little choice other than to simply leave.
It's not because it's cheaper to do business in Europe or something like that, because it's not. But if you need this person with this set of skills, and this is where he is, then welcome to your new office.
The long-term solution is to nurture more young scientists here in the U.S. To that end, Silicon Valley companies have pumped millions of dollars into K-12 education, especially math and science teacher training. But Norquist says that's not the answer.
That's not our day job, you know. We work at a semiconductor company. We are not a Department of Education. We're not teachers. It's something that we can help augment, but, you know, that really has to be something that comes from government.
And given recent headlines, that is easier said than done, especially here in California.
The cuts took place incrementally over 4 to 5 years, and it was sort of watching a patient that was ill, sort of waste away.
That's Michael Kirst, a former president of the State Board of Education. He's describing what happened after 1978 when California voters passed Proposition 13, which dramatically lowered property tax rates.
Class sizes increased. The length of the school day was cut down. Laboratories for science were cut back. We had essentially cut everything we could without eliminating all the basic classroom teachers.
Until Prop 13, California was in the top 10 in state spending per pupil. Today, we're below the national average. In every subject, California students have some of the lowest test scores in the country. But not everyone blames Prop 13. Supporters blame California's low test scores on other things, like the huge influx of first-generation immigrant children who don't speak English, or teachers' unions that oppose offering higher wages to tougher-to-find math and science teachers. Kids growing up here in the Bay Area may be better off than most, thanks to a wealth of science institutions working to augment the schools.
One of them
is the Exploratorium in San Francisco, which has been training science teachers since 1973.
It's because the colors are mixing up.
On a recent weekday afternoon, a cluster of girls is trying to figure out how three colors of lights can make so many different colors of shadows. Museum director Dennis Bartels stands back, waiting for them to solve the puzzle.
All of us are born
to try to figure things out. Our mind is just tuned into finding patterns and meaning all the time. And when you're younger, what you're trying to put together is literally the physical world.
In other words, science is a natural part of being a kid. The challenge is catching that interest and hanging on to it.
Because if we wait until middle school or high school, we will probably have missed the opportunity of 3/4 of our school population to really get interested to science, even to a level to ask better questions and make better decisions for themselves and their families and communities when they become adults.
For Quest, I'm Amy Standen, KQED Radio News.
Tune in to KQED Channel 9 on Tuesday night for a Quest TV special on science education in California, or watch online at kqed.org/quest.
Major funding for Quest is provided by the National Science Foundation, the Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation, and Ann S. Bowers, the Robert Noyce Trust.